This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts. Free your mind!
Sex worker, and yes, it does. In those biblical sense, I am beyond repentance. Bang hooker, sex worker, wench, vomit her mind. Listen up close while I take it backwards. Okay, begins the gal that's in me, which I want. I'm not a prostitute, sex workers, but I can give you what you want. Sex worker, damn it.
Get some. You've tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
Have tuned into the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. The Vixen Hour is your weekly radio show that explores life, issues and the world from a sex worker's perspective. This is your opportunity to challenge the stereotypes and prejudices you may have about sex work and hear from the actual voices of sex workers themselves. Ourselves. We are out loud and proud. This is the only community radio show in the world that is publicly broadcasted direct to your radios. Turn it up.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interest of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex work organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
That's right, you are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. If at any point you'd like to interact with the program, you can do so by texting in on 0427 Joy 949. That's 0427 569 949. Calling the front desk at 1300 Joy 949 or sending us an email at onair@joy.org.au. So tonight's show is all about sex work and motherhood. And I thought we would talk about this in the lead up to International Women's Day, which is on the 8th of March and celebrated around the world every year. And I thought, you know, what's a topic that relates to sex work, particularly women and sex work? And I thought motherhood was one of those issues that doesn't really get much airtime. And I thought this might be a really good opportunity to talk about it. So I'm joined by three amazing sex workers and mothers in the studio. I'm joined by Ava. Hello, Ava.
Hello, Christian.
Ava's a bit croaky, so we might go easy on her tonight. We also have Eva Sless.
Hi, Christian. Hi, everyone.
So Eva joined us for our very first episode, and Eva joined us for show number 2, talking about words, and I'm really glad that she's back. But we do have a new guest co-host on tonight's show, and that is the fabulous Kelly Maguire.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Now, as we do every week here on the Vixen Hour, whenever we have a new co-host, we do try to get to know them a little bit. Just to explore, you know, that, you know, sex workers are regular people just like everybody else, and we'd like to hear about, you know, who they are and what their life is like. So, Kelly Maguire.
Yes, Christian.
Who is Kelly Maguire?
Look, I've been working since 93. So basically, wow, my life revolves, everything revolves around sex or sex work. Anything from adult entertainment to businesses, mm-hmm, to promoting, to escorting, to I've worked as management, receptionist, sex worker in a brothel, mm-hmm, private escort, and I found out last night that apparently I'm going to be opening or starting my own escort agency.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you've been a sex worker since 1993, and you continue.
I think 93.
Mm-hmm. And you continue to do that privately.
Yeah. Privately, all privately, no more brothel work for me.
What does sex work mean for you personally? Because what we try to do here at the Vixen Hour is explore how people define sex work for themselves, because we kind of recognise that everyone sort of, every sex worker does that
Everyone's very different.
Yep.
And everyone thinks and feels about it differently. For me, it's more, it changes over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Being around since a very, very long time ago, and no, I'm not old. being around for a long time, the way you feel about it changes. Now, when I first got into it, it was fun. You'd get to have sex with all these guys and hot guys, and you know, you're learning, and it's fun. You're in your 20s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it's more so. It for me, it's like an art form. I enjoy meeting new people, learning what makes them tick emotionally, sexually, just the way they think, everything like that. That's why I do it. And I even said to someone, one of my clients the other day, even if I won the lotto, I would probably still do it, because I don't think I could go without that.
Mm-hmm.
So just the whole aspect of meeting new people in such intimate and private environment is what intrigues me in life.
Yeah.
So no matter how good my clubs go or anything else, I will still always have that base there. It's something that I always wanted to do, which is why I did it from, I think I was 14 or 15.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I guess over that time, have you done lots of different types of sex work? Has it always been the same thing, or have you always tried to do something new?
No, it's always been go with the flow. Well, at the start, when you're in brothels, you have to sort of do what they say anyway. With there's guidelines as to what you should do, and as you're learning, I think you evolve what you do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've moved on from just doing the normal standard sex work into doing the pro dom and mistress work as well, which is a whole nother thing, because it involves so much more thinking and so much more preparation and even more art forms to it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And what's the best thing about sex work that you've gotten over the years?
The best thing about sex work?
Apart from all the orgasms.
You know what? Honest to God, the best thing about it is it's given me my freedom to be and to grow as a person and to be what I've needed to be. Mm-hmm. I've always been a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
So I've, and my daughter is mentally disabled. So I've been able to be there for her and been able to support her with whatever she needs. She doesn't have a father in the scene at all, and give her whatever she needs with doctors and medicines and specialists and be there for her as her carer as well. Like that's what is my main concern, that I'm there to help them with their homework. I can work my own hours and still put a roof over their head and not have to rely on anyone else. I think that's the main thing.
That's fantastic.
Honestly.
Mm. And I think, you know, what really comes through is sort of, you know, your dedication to your role as a parent and, you know, being able to provide for your kid. I'm not a parent, which is why I decided to bring three sex workers who are mothers onto this show, because I can't speak on behalf of parents. And and a lot of what we try to do here at the Vixen Hour is get sex workers to speak for themselves. So it's absolutely amazing that you're here and that you're all here, Ava and Eva as well. We are going to go to some messages. If you'd like to interact with the program, you can do so by texting in on 0427 Joy 949. We'd love to hear from you. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
The Spice Girls with Mama. How appropriate. And when I asked
one on either.
And when I asked my co-host to pick the music, I really can't blame anyone else. Thank you for that song, Eva.
I love the Spice Girls and I won't hear any bad words against you.
Don't blame me for that song.
I love it. Anyway, we are here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. The topic we are talking about tonight is sex work and motherhood. And I'm joined in the studio by the fabulous Ava, the fantastic Eva, and the wonderful Kelly. And we're here to talk about sex work and being mums. Yay! I'm not a mum, so that's why I had to bring in three mothers. For y'all. Eva sort of came to public attention when she wrote a fabulous blog post about being empowered as a sex worker and mother. And how it opened was that you were very angry about a discussion that you had on Facebook.
Yes, Facebook angers me a lot, but this was a particular discussion that really did anger me with somebody who had sort of written a whole bunch of stuff about sex work and mm-hmm. mothers. And this person is not a sex worker, not been around the sex industry, knows very few sex workers apart from me, and just put this sort of piece out about sex work being not empowering and mothers not being, you know, talking to their... How would a mother encourage her daughter into sex work? If they say it's empowering, they should, but they wouldn't because it's not empowering. And I went, well, hang on, and wrote this bit of a rant.
Yeah, wow. And I guess what that really highlights is there's a lot of misconceptions about sex workers who are mothers.
Yeah.
And it brings in a whole lot of things around, you know, all of the stereotypes around sex work, but then couple that with exposure to children. And so that crossover of sex workers being mothers becomes a really, really sort of contentious topic.
I think the thing that's quite interesting that I've noticed about sex work, especially because I work very rarely as a sex worker now, and I spend most of my time talking and writing about sex and sex work in the industry, is that when you've been a sex worker, to most people in the wider community, that is all you ever are or will be. I mean, if you're a baker, you're not only ever looked at as a baker. If you're an accountant, you're not only ever looked at as an accountant. But when you're a sex worker, people can't seem to see that you have any other facets to your personality or to your life. So if you're suddenly a mother and a sex worker, the controversy just throws itself into the air. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Because all of a sudden they say, well, sex work isn't a real job.
Yes.
You know, what's your job? You don't do anything.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. You should get a real job. You should stop mucking around. And it's insulting as well as just being wrong.
Mm-hmm. There's clearly a lot of sort of misconceptions around there about mothers who are sex workers and things like, you know, children being neglected. And I mean, we've heard now, well, through Kelly's story that, you know, what we do is actually try to be as committed as parents as possible.
Well, we're just
worker.
Parents. All mm-hmm. parents try and do the best for their kids. And it's, I think the thing that people can't get their head around is they seem to think that we bring these clients home to our homes, to our families, and somehow expose them to the job. And
may I say, though, if it wasn't for sex work, I wouldn't have my two girls. Yeah. My eldest's father was a client and my youngest father's friend was a client. That's how I met.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have my babies.
Mm.
And I don't regret it one bit.
No. Mm. And at the same time, you don't take your children to work with you.
I mean, look, my children
just
know.
Just sit in the back seat till I come back.
I
just crack the window open, get a bottle of water. They'll be
My children know what I do. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I had a booking once with someone that owned a very large animal sort of...
Like a reserve.
Yeah, something like that. Something. So, yeah, the children did go with me. And they went with one of my friends and had a look around the reserve and stuff while I did my booking. And, you know, and then we went and patted the animals.
Yeah. And I mean, that's no different to, you know, if somebody had a job at, like, Luna Park, like fixing a ride or something.
Exactly.
And you let the kids come along with you to work.
And you wouldn't put them in the place where you're fixing them with the chainsaw and the sharp object. Yeah. I mean,
of course.
The thing that is really quite insulting is the idea that we neglect our children or that we've somehow become sex workers out of desperation or drug addiction or something. And so we must
not true.
We must be... You know, obviously obviously not putting food on the table with the money that we earn. We're obviously doing it to get drugs or to get something like that. And it's just, it's insulting because we're just women working.
I don't even smoke cigarettes. So, yeah, no, no, anything like that for me. I have one of my clients, a lovely couple that I see, who his mother used to be a sex worker, and he only realised that as he got older because she would have men come to their house, and all of a sudden all these random men were coming to the house while he was there when he was very young. And I mean, it's not like back then when it was so taboo. It's not like that nowadays. Now we can be out there and can be open. Every single person I know knows what I do. I don't hide it. If someone says to me when they meet me, "What do you do for a living?" I just say, "I'm a hooker." My daughter had an accident at school and ended up going to hospital. The ambulance person said to her when she was on the ground, you know, "Well, where's your mum?" "Well, she's at work." "What does she do?" "She's a hooker." I said, "Did you really say that? You couldn't say the nightclubs?" "No, no, no." Apparently that was it. All I could think about. So, you know, but she's so comfortable with it because they understand it's, you know, it's a natural part of life.
Yeah. Well, later on in the program, we'll actually get to talk to a couple of people who have grown up with a sex worker as a mother, and that's going to be a very interesting conversation. But I'm wondering for now, Eva, you described how other people's misconceptions about sex work has affected you, and, you know, through social media and stuff. I'm wondering if there are any other examples of, like, how other people's misconceptions about sex work have sort of been imposed on you, like parent-teacher nights, I'm thinking.
Yeah, look, not so much at the parent-teacher nights, although I did make my daughter's third-grade teacher blush. He asked me what I did for a living, and I said to him, "Oh, I'm a writer, and I entertain and I promote events." And he said, "Oh, what sort of writing do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I write for magazines mainly." And this is what I normally say to people, because, you know, a lot of people have their, and they push, they go, "Oh, what sort of magazines?" And I usually say, "Oh, I write for adult magazines." "Oh, what sort of adult magazine?" and then when I tell them, "Oh, I write for, you know, Penthouse or Peep or something," then they go, "Oh, I can't believe you told me that." And I was like, "You asked." But no, he sort of went, oh, that's interesting, right, and sort of kept going. I think the teachers in the school, I don't think they matter. It's the other mums, I think, that have a bit of an issue sometimes.
I think it's great. I have all at my child's primary school, all the teachers and stuff know that I do escort work, sex worker, I'm a mistress, that I have the fetish clubs and the swingers clubs, and they just, all they keep saying, "Oh, has anyone famous come in?" You know, like, "Have you seen anyone famous?"
And that's a question I get asked, you know, so many times by people.
They're comfortable, and the other mums come and say to me, "Oh, I want to learn how to do this and do, you know."
Do what?
Like spank my husband in a way that he keeps saying it doesn't hurt. And that conversation was at my daughter's birthday party.
Wow.
Right, while they were bowling. just when it's a natural thing, and if you don't make a big deal out of it, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I agree. I absolutely. If you come out and say, "Oh, I'm a sex worker, I'm a sex writer, I do this," they go, "Oh." And they suddenly realise that they've been talking to you for 6 months and you're a very normal, intelligent, you know, well-grounded woman. And they go, "Oh, maybe."
Yeah.
And which is one of the reasons why I wrote this article.
And because they want to learn more about it.
Ranting at had knew me, knows my kid, knows my husband, knows my family, has been in my home, and for her to say this in a public forum that she would know that I would see, I was just, you know me, and you know I'm very empowered and very strong, and that my daughter is very centered and very normal and not exposed to anything terrible. Why have you said these sort of things?
Yeah,
I did have the first conversation with the smaller one the other day when I was off to do a mistress booking and she saw me carrying my suitcases out with the leg spreader bar and everything in there. She's like, "Is the nightclub open tonight?" I said, "No." I said, "I have to go to work." She said, "At someone's house?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "But there's the nightclub stuff." Do people have nightclubs at their house?
Cute. That is cute. You are listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We do have to go to some messages. We're going to come back with a song, and then we'll speak to Jordan and Michael, who are Ava's boys, and we'll talk about what it's like to grow up with a mother who's a sex worker. You're listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You're here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. We're currently talking to Eva, Ava and Kelly about sex work and motherhood. But we're joined in the studio right now by two of Eva's sons.
Ava's sons.
Oh, my God.
Mine. I had two sons I didn't know about.
Did we have
this
baby
is son? Maury Povich.
Yeah, Ava's sons, Jordan and Michael. Now, Jordan and Mike, we've posted a photo on our Facebook page. Jordan and Michael actually rocked up to Pride March and joined the sex worker contingent with an amazing banner that read, "Our mum is a sex worker and we are just fine, equal rights for all." And it totally blew me away. And, you know, as someone who's gone to Pride March for the past 5 years, I didn't think anything could blow me away. And this was a really, really amazing moment. So I want to thank you guys for not only sort of taking part in that really public way of, you know, being proud about sex worker rights, but also joining us here tonight on the Vixen Hour. So welcome, Jordan and Michael.
Thank you.
I guess to start off, wanted to ask, why did you want to come to Pride March with your mum?
Well, to prove and show off that our mum's job doesn't affect us in our life any more than it would any other child's parents' occupation.
Yeah.
For me, I just wanted to go. You know, I wanted the experience, and I also wanted to support my mum. I wanted to show there was no difference in children because of the job or occupation. We're all the same, and to fight for equal rights for all parties as well at the same time.
Great. And so how did you feel being there? I mean, what was the reaction from the crowd?
At first, I was nervous, but as we started the march, the vibe of everybody and their positive energy actually changed how I felt about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I began to feel proud and, you know, grew the courage to just stand with style and strut.
It'd be the unity as well.
Yeah.
The unity would have made you stronger.
Yes. Mm,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, like being part of a group and like seeing other sex workers and people. Was it surprising to see people sort of be supportive in that way?
Not really. I mean, it was kind of like everyone's together. It's like the whole party energy. Like everyone's happy. Everyone's in that mood, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't very surprised, but I was surprised about how many people showed up.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was great. Yeah,
that is the spirit of Pride. Do you guys feel that you're ready to tell other people about, you know, what your mum's job is and talk about it?
No doubt I'd feel comfortable with sharing it to my friends if it was if it was appropriate to say. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't mind telling.
For me, it isn't a very big thing. Like, I don't really care. Like, for example, you know, it's not like I'm going to go, my mum's a sex worker. I don't mind. You know, if the topic question comes up, it doesn't bother me. I'll just tell them if they need to.
Yeah. It's really great to know. I'm just wondering, do you remember your mum ever telling you that? Did she, like, sit down and have this whole conversation with you? How did your mum tell you guys what she did for a living?
Well, I don't remember the specific time when we were told, but she used to drop hints here and there, trying to get us in the, you know, to know.
Mm-hmm.
So when she did eventually tell us, it wasn't a huge surprise. It was just like, oh, okay, that's all right. It's, you know, just a normal thing.
Yeah. I think that would surprise most people because people think it's such a big deal, but people forget that, you know, this is the everyday lives of sex workers.
And I think that's, like I was saying before, is that, you know, it's not like you suddenly just spring it on people.
Yeah.
You don't just suddenly go, surprise! One takes, guess what? It is a leading up to it thing. So, yeah. And I think that's the sort of same thing that...
Not all children are that lucky, though.
Yeah.
Like, the way my daughter found out was... My sister was talking to her daughter about it. Well,
yeah.
Was talking to someone about it, and her daughter overheard and told my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my daughter has autism, and she was only, I'd say maybe seven or eight. And she came to me and she said, Mum, do you actually have sex with strangers for money?
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down and we had a big talk about it and things like that. And she's handled it so far. Her only concern was that my husband might not be getting enough sex.
It's really compassionate of your daughter.
Thank you.
Yeah, for me, it wasn't exactly like a big event as well. Same as with Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it wasn't an eye popper. I wasn't very surprised, you know, because of course Mum did drop some hints and it's like, oh, okay, you are. And I mean, why would it be such a big event? I mean, like, why would I remember it? You know, you don't see other people and say, I remember the day my dad told me I was a truck driver.
It's like, so what? It's not very different.
It's something that we discussed actually a while ago about that idea of, you know, telling your kids and everything. And I remember when I, like, and people say, what are you going to tell your daughter? My daughter's 9.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was 9 and if someone said, what does your mum do? I'd be like, oh, she works at a school. She could have been a teacher. She could have been a headmistress. Mm-hmm. She could have been tuck shop lady. You know, my dad worked in an office. Who knows? Well, he could have been a secret agent. He could have been, you know, an accountant. Kids don't really, you know, that high. What sex work has this such a stigma of a, of sort of, you've got to tell everyone and you've got to be this kind of person and you've got to have that and got to. It's just a bloody job.
Yeah, yeah.
Leave us alone.
Yeah.
That's how you're different, though. That's how we're different, is because, you know, your daughter's 9, my daughter's 9, but my daughter knows that I have the bondage nightclub. She knows that I do the escort work. Things like, obviously, she doesn't know mum goes and has sex with these men.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, but nor does my daughter. She know. Well, I mean, she knows that mum goes to events and she dresses up and she knows that. And she did once say something about sex parties and I had to actually sit her down because, although my husband and I do go to sex parties, she was actually referring to the Australian sex party because I do a lot of work and a lot of stuff for them. And so I have sex party T-shirts, sex party memorabilia, sex party everything around. And that's, and when I went, oh, what sort of sex party? She goes, oh, you know, with your yellow T-shirt. I went, yeah, yeah, that's a, you know, and I explained that to her. So kids, you know, you do have to explain in different ways. Yeah. But yeah.
I think with all the children, they're all different. Mm. Like the way that, I mean, same as adults, the way that they're going to understand it, the way that you can connect with them about it. They're all individuals. You need to do it their ways that they'll understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for you guys, like, you know, coming to Pride and having a banner was one thing and everyone's sort of in there in that spirit of trying to be as supportive of you guys as possible. Mm. I'm thinking outside of that though, like just with your friends, do you guys feel like you're, is you know, what your mum does for a living, is that something you feel like you guys can talk about with your friends?
Of course I could talk to people like closest friends of mine. Mm-hmm. And I know a story where a friend of mine's mother was also a sex worker, mm-hmm. and she was actually copped a lot of, you know, flack for that. Mm-hmm. So she was basically bawling her eyes out. Once I found out about it, I approached her and I told her it was an appropriate situation to actually tell her. So I told her that our mum's a sex worker as well, so she shouldn't be feeling too bad, you know.
Yeah, wow.
It's nothing to be sad about. It's a normal occupation.
You don't give birth to 3-headed children.
Precisely.
Okay. Thanks, Ava.
So thank you.
Oh. What about you, Michael? How do you feel about telling your friends?
I felt I could tell them. I'm pretty comfortable with my friends. If it, like, I don't just say to them, hey, you know, my mum's a sex worker, you know, I just don't walk around saying that. But, you know, if the time did come up, I might be a bit hesitant, you know, because with a whole stereotype and prejudice in that area, mm-hmm. I might think, oh, will they change their behaviour towards me or anything like that? But it shouldn't. And pretty much their reaction, if I did, they'd be like surprised or like, are you serious? Like, are you really telling me the truth? I'm like, yeah, I'm being serious.
It's interesting, isn't it, how our work is defined by other people's reactions to it?
Yeah.
And I find that really sad, you know, that we have to justify and constantly kind of tell people and prove to people that we're normal, where there's no other job in the world that you have to justify unless maybe, you know, you're an executioner.
Yeah, it's like, well, why wouldn't I be serious? Like, what's the point?
Well, how do you guys sort of cope with the stereotypes around sex work? I mean, these guys have talked about earlier, you know, all those misconceptions being put upon them. I imagine it to be quite different for you guys.
If it ever came up in a conversation about someone, what they think of a sex worker, I'd obviously jump in, give them my opinion, mm-hmm. try to change their opinion on sex workers. I wouldn't like the stereotype that they have. Mm-hmm. Most are really horrible and wrong. Like, mm-hmm. one, my mum does not take drugs. She's able to hold a stable family, which, you know, and she's able to give time for us, which is what every other mother does. Mm. So there's no, you know, reason that stereotype should be around.
Yeah. I'm so proud of these boys right now. They're not my boys, but I'm so proud of them.
These boys are actually very, very good boys.
Yeah.
They're very good boys. I know them personally, and they're very, very well behaved. Yeah. And they've been brought up.
They do their homework.
Yeah. And they've been brought up very well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that really, really comes through. Michael, did you want to...
Yeah, sure. Well, if I hear about stereotypes, I try to ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel bad for the people. Like, I think, well, what happened to you to have that stereotype?
Yeah, wow.
And, you know, if they do give me their views and I try to help them, and like I'm still happy and open for them to have their point of view, because I've also grown up around this area. I know and understand that everyone has their own opinion, so I won't just like, oh, you know, your opinion. Okay, but mm-hmm. yeah, I still understand everyone's.
Yeah, wow. Well, we do have to wrap this conversation up, but if there was one thing that you wanted to tell other people about, you know, what it's like to grow up with a mother who is a sex worker, what would that message be?
Sex work is just another occupation in this world. Mm-hmm. That is all.
Yeah, cool.
It doesn't really affect parenting. I mean, it is exactly what he said. It's just another occupation, and we're no different. We're no different children. There's nothing, you know, we don't have any deformities or... it's even more beneficial for us because we have a lot more advice with relationships.
And we get a bit of money here and there.
And I also know that these boys have such a healthy respect for women.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
so many... boys that age don't have, and not necessarily they don't have, but they don't realise they don't have.
Yeah.
You know, they really understand it, and I think that's a really important lesson, especially for teenage boys.
Absolutely. Relationship 9 months for the win.
Congratulations.
I want to thank Jordan and Michael for joining us tonight on the Vixen Hour. I'm absolutely inspired by like what you guys do, and I'm really, really proud of you guys. So,
thank you.
So thank you for coming and joining us here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Thank you.
If at any point people do want to text in, they can do so on 0427JOY94.9, just as Chappal has done. Show's sounding great, guys. Thanks for that, Chappal. We're going to some messages, and we'll be back here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour. On Joy 94.9.
You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian, and I'm joined by Kelly, Eva, and Ava. And we are talking about sex work and motherhood. And for this next chat, I thought we might talk about some of the logistical challenges of being a sex worker and mother at the same time, because, you know, being a parent is hard as it is. And we talked about a lot of the stigma and challenges and misconceptions about sex work that other people have. But there are actual logistical challenges that people have to face.
Yeah, there really are. I think one of the biggest ones, and something that we discuss quite a lot in sex worker forums and with our girlfriends and friends and everything, is the aspect of childcare. Mm-hmm. Because most sex workers work at night, mm-hmm. and childcare is usually open, you know, most childcare centres are open from about 6 or 7 a.m. to about 7 p.m. And most sex workers at night, their shifts go from about 8 till 8 in the morning or something. So you're working all night. And this is a problem that affects all shift workers, is finding childcare. It's not just limited to sex workers. There's very few. I did a lot of research coming into the show today to try and find something so I could say, but actually there's this one place that's... It's really, really hard. Yeah. Most, I looked at a few different sex worker organisation sheets and information sheets, and they talked about childcare, and they basically sort of said, look, during the day, you know, there's childcare centres, there's family daycare. At night, really, you're limited to family, to friends, and to babysitters.
Mm. Which is where I've been really lucky, because my family has always known what I do, and my mother or something like that would live with me or babysit anytime I need them to.
Mm. And yeah. I was very lucky because I'm married and my husband would stay at home with our daughter when I went to work. But, yeah, that idea of sort of someone looking after your kids that you trust, that you know they're going to be looked after, especially if it's overnight, because, you know, the child's going to sleep in a strange place, is waking up, do they have to go to school in the morning?
I always keep my children in their own house, only because also with her autism, you can't just put her with just anyone.
No, you can't put her
in another house or anything like that.
And I've known from other sex worker friends that you do get a stigma, as again we use that word, of you, the babysitter, you know, mm-hmm. or the childcare worker can be quite offended by your job and almost takes that out on the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I worked in childcare for a very long time before I was a sex worker. And I know just from different things, you take you know, you do sort of project things onto kids and onto mm-hmm. the parents. If the kid's a horrible child, you don't like the parents. You know, you just don't. If the parents aren't very nice, you find it difficult to warm to the child. Mm-hmm. And the same, I'm guessing, goes for sex, for the childcare workers. If they have a issue with sex work and the parent is a sex worker, then they're going to put all those things that we were talking about before about mm-hmm. neglect and drugs and all that, they're going to lump that in and then treat you.
But you're going to notice that before you let them look after your child.
Well, that's right. I mean, you have to be very open with people, I think, especially if you're working mm-hmm. shift work.
In my opinion, which has nothing to do with shift work or anything, I think you should be very open with people anyway, because if they're not going to like you for your job, then they're not worth liking in the first
absolutely.
Place.
Childcare issue is a huge one for a lot of people, you know, whether you're a sex worker or not. I'm wondering if there's other sort of support services that you'd find a challenge to bring your child into. I'm thinking things like GPs and doctors and stuff like that, mental health workers, if that's an issue for your child.
It can be hard in a sense of, especially if something was to, if you needed to sort of contact maybe child services for something, like you mm-hmm. were going through a separation with your partner. And a lot of, I mean, these days it's a lot different, but not very long ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, you could, if you really wanted to cause trouble as a dad and you've broken up with your partner and everything, you could go to child services, you could go to the courts and say, well, my ex is a sex worker and therefore she is blah, 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 abuse, neglect, drugs, whatever. I want the kids. And they would just, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. now it's a little bit more respectful, a little bit more less yeah. sort of...
To make, yeah, I've got like my fiance's son lives with us now and his mother actually contacted was DHS or whatever it's called, and so they called my partner and said, do you know that your partner's a sex worker? And he said, yes. And you've got your son living there? Yes, but he's not doing it. Yeah. And then they just left it at that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're not so doing anything illegal. Yeah.
I'm licensed and yeah. everything like that.
There's a yeah. lot more respect there and yeah. a lot more understanding.
There has been a related question posted to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/sexworkerradio from Tash, who said, can I please ask a question to the mums where their children's friends' parents know you are a sex worker. Did you have any issues with your children being allowed to have friends over for sleepovers and stuff?
Yes.
I haven't, but I have another story on that, but I'll let Kelly.
Yeah, I've, with my youngest, she wasn't invited to as many parties or things like that. But then once they actually got to know me and got to see how strict I am with a normal life and how strict I am on the children and things like that, then, yeah, they're a lot more comfortable. Now they're not a problem.
Mm-hmm. I had this was not so much related to sex work, but the sex writing that I do, because I write for magazines and I used to write for People magazine, which is like a sort of page three, you know, boobs. That's about as risque as it gets. And I had a family member basically say that when they had children, they would feel very uncomfortable having them around at my house because there's porn everywhere. And I was like,
I'm coming around your house.
Yeah, People magazine I wouldn't call porn because it's just boobs. And secondly, it's not like it's sort of out everywhere and I go, hey kids, look, boobs. Like, it's this idea that we're somehow some kind of freaks that don't know what's appropriate and what's not and what's age appropriate and what's not. Like, we're suddenly going to be walking around in G-strings and bras all day and going down to the school to pick up our kids in our hooker boots. Like, no. Mm. Well,
I must say that
there's been a few times I've had to take the shoes off the car and run in, but only because I can't run in high heels.
Girls nowadays, when they go out, I wouldn't wear that stuff when I'm working.
No, that's yeah. right. I think Belle DeJour on the opening of her book talks about how do you spot the sex worker in a
hotel.
She's
the one that doesn't look
like
one.
She's the one that doesn't look like a sex worker.
Like yeah. most of my bookings, I will go in there dressed like I am now in a singlet and gym pants and runners.
Yeah. And that's sort of, and like Kelly said, once they get to know you
yeah.
and get to realise that you're not sort of, you know, you don't have this kind of red velvet bordello in your lounge room or whatever, and that you they kind of come around.
That'd be
to
awesome
it.
Though. Yeah, I just got a thumbs up from my partner.
But I just think... It is about education. I think that's why this show is so fantastic, because there'll be people listening to this that want to learn about what it's all about. And so hopefully we're changing some minds.
Speaking of people listening, we have had some messages via Facebook. So Lilith says, your voice sounds extra hot on the radio, Kelly.
Oh, thank you.
It does. It sounds even better whispered in your ear.
And our email system has gone a bit wonky, but I'll do my best. I think you girls are amazing, the way you can openly talk, especially at school, seeing the reactions from other parents. I guess people are more open-minded these days, but how do you deal with the car park Barbie dolls when they say things like, you know what she does? By the way, you let your kids know what you're doing, which is great. No sheltering, no lies. Kelly, you sound amazing on the airwaves. And that's from Marty and Kirsty.
No, thank you. Thanks. I love you guys.
Look, the soccer mums are interesting, but, you know, I'm sitting there with my mates in the schoolyard going, oh, my God, they're driving a frickin' Toorak tractor. And it's,
really?
You know,
I go, oh, my God, they're driving a Ford. No,
I just, hey! We all judge people. We all judge, you know. No, look, I know the mums to avoid.
Yeah.
Because, and it's not even so much avoiding because I'm embarrassed. I'm more like, I don't want to embarrass them, and I couldn't be bothered dealing with it. I couldn't be bothered dealing with their looks and their
I'm just
bullshit.
Not that sociable. I don't talk to them. I've got other stuff to do, but it's painted all over my car. So they know already what I do.
We get lots of honks driving around in your car.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
That's because we're hot as well, but you know.
For other people that don't know, Eva actually is my girlfriend. So I'm very lucky. And we drive around together sometimes, and we get some hot looks from people and some honks, and
we could talk about this all night.
No booking out of it though yet.
When you've got kinky fetish night written on the back window of your car, you get a couple of weird
looks.
It's
a bit not subtle, hey. Yeah. You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We do have to go to some messages, but we're going to come back and wrap up soon.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. This has been our special lead up to International Women's Day, talking about sex work and motherhood. And we have come to the end of the show.
Aww. We love it.
We love you, Christian.
Aww.
Christian.
I love you guys. Stop it. I would like to thank the amazing Kelly, Eva and Ava for joining me in the studio for this episode of the Vixen Hour. I also want to say an extra special thank you to Michael and Jordan for talking about growing up with a mother who is a sex worker.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Awesome.
Thank
you. You guys are so cute.
You too.
Thank you.
I bet your girlfriend will be happy to hear that.
On next week's show, because we are having a show next week, I'll be joined by the amazing Lady Ambrosia Noir, talking about the diversity of sex work. So sex work isn't just provision of full services like escort services or brothel work or escort agency work. It is. Some people consider things like phone sex work, cam-to-cam sex work, BDSM,
stripping. It's all sex work.
I like webcam shows. They're fun.
We're going to explore some of that diversity of sex work. It's going to be an awesome show. We'd love you to tune in. But this has been the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You can stay connected to us throughout the week on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/sexworkerradio. On Twitter, I always neglect Twitter, is at Vixen Hour. Yep. And if you go to our Facebook page, you'll also find all of the podcasts of our show. So if you've missed an episode, you can listen back to it. Usually I upload episodes of the Vixen Hour within 48 hours of them going to air. So yay. If you've just tuned in, you can always backtrack then. Thank you, Kelly.
That's all right. Anytime.
Thank you, Eva.
Thanks, Christian.
Thanks, Eva.
Thank you.
Aww.
I can't help it.
This has been the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.